Blog Talk Radio.
Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Hello everyone, this is Diane and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels a civilization into the next step? And what I'm talking about, the next step, is fifth dimensional consciousness. So join me over the next hour as I take you into a fifth dimension and beyond. Today is the 21st of November, a very pivotal day of 2013. And I just want to mention, first of all, that this show is broadcast over Blog Talk through Earth Angels Radio. So please go to www.earthangelsradio.com to find out about myself and the radio hosts and hostesses on Earth Angels Radio. And there's an archive, so you can go back and listen to some of the shows. And, you know, we also broadcast on live stream through Impact Player Music Nation. So please go to www.ipmnation.com. And you can go to the archives there for many of our shows, but also all the other radio shows that they have on that network. Just want to let you know, though, that link hasn't been working very well today, so I'm not sure if they're upgrading their site. So try it again, www.ipmnation.com. So, lots been going on. I did a show on Friday the 15th, and it was at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to go back, I talked a lot about what was going on energetically on the planet and with humanity over the last few months. And it was kind of a, you know, concentrated, condensed version of everything. And then I also did a show with Carol Guy on the 14th. So if you'd like to go back and listen to that, plug in Fifth Dimensional Living. My name is Diane Bachberger, 11 a.m. Eastern on November the 14th, 2013, and that show will come up for you. You know, if you have been listening to the shows, you'll see that I've been chronicling what's been going on over the last 2 years energetically within humanity. And humanity is shifting consciousness, and they're expanding the energy within themselves, the chakras. And I've also been talking about Uranus-Pluto squares, and I talked quite a bit about it on Friday's show. So again, I will, you'll plug in Diane Bachberger, Fifth Dimensional Living, 4 p.m., November the 15th, 2013. I know there's a few people that were asking about that show, so I thought I'd mention it again. I was talking about how, you know, what happens in the microcosm is reflected in the macrocosm, which means that it shows up in the cosmos around us, what is really going on within humanity. And right now, humanity has been going on the inner journey. So I made the intention for the higher consciousness on the planet to expand and to happen the way it should. And, you know, it would be an idea to make an intention for higher consciousness right now. And be that consciousness, be that fifth dimensional consciousness as much as you can. So do a lot of the clearing, a lot of the healing. you know, this is how we shift things here, how we make, it's like manifesting on a grand scale for everyone in the oneness. And, you know, so you put out the intention for something to happen, and you feel it emotionally, and you release it, and it flows back. You know, we touch each other's lives more than we could even imagine. You know, when I'm touched, it touches people, and when, you know, you're touched, it touches me, and it touches our hearts, and we connect from our hearts, but, you know, not the earthly heart, from the divine connection to Source. So, you know, we're all one. You know, you've heard that expression, the oneness and shifting of consciousness, or the shift. It's just shifting from one type of consciousness, 3D consciousness, which is polaric, so it has extreme opposites. And so when there's love, there's fear and hate. And with it comes, you know, the ego, materialistic society, and power, craving for power. So this is the way the planet has been since the fallen consciousness. And that is shifting right now. And people are looking at what's been going on here. And, you know, each time we go into these Mercury retrogrades, we're looking back at what hasn't worked. And we're working on different aspects of ourselves and healing that aspect of ourselves. So a lot of energy is being given off because we've been holding this at a cellular level and compartmentalizing it. You know, about a week ago, the sun wasn't showing any spots anymore. And that hasn't happened for a long time, but it was because we had released a lot of energy up to a certain point. And then because of what happened last week, and I talked about it on the show, we're digging even deeper now. And Chiron, Chiron, in Pisces, moved direct on November the 19th. And Chiron is the wound healer. And it can empower you to find healing and solutions within yourself. You know, and last week I talked about taking care of yourself, making sure you're eating good foods and getting plenty of rest and drinking lots of water. And how we hold things frequency at a cellular level. And water holds frequency. So, you know, just be aware of that. And be proactive. It's all about your inner journey right now. And that's why we do these shows, Fifth Dimensional Living, and all these shows on Earth Angels Radio. Carol Guy started Earth Angels Radio in 2007. And it was for the purpose of educating people on shifting consciousness. So go back and look at all the different shows that we have and their archives over the last little while, but if you can, you know, listen further back. The Taurus full moon that we just experienced, you know, I talked about that on Friday too, was also to align goals with core values. And it's all about, you know, looking at who we really are, not focusing on the material things and the surface things and the shallow things that are in 3D consciousness. We have to go deeper to shift consciousness. And part of it is opening the upper heart. So some people are feeling it in the heart. And knowing that your safety and security are found in who you really are, not in trappings and in the banking system and the power mongers that have been on the planet. So it's finding the security within yourself. And you know, it takes an intention to do this and go within yourself. And many people are being called to do it right now. And it's about finding the gold within yourself, not looking outside of yourself to find things that are going to, you know, nurture you. It's knowing that you have it within yourself. And you can choose to be empowered or to play the victim. It's totally up to you. But know that it will happen when it's meant to happen. So it's not about giving up right now or feeling sorry for oneself. It's about, you know, finding that, you know, I'm thinking about a candy, and you open up the candy wrapper and you eat the candy It's about going, you know, doing it. Failure is not an option. And you want to have your dreams be fulfilled. And I talked on last week's show about doing the things that really make you happy and illuminate you and develop you beyond the physical realms here. So, you know, the material security and possessions and things like that are wonderful, you know, as long as they're used in the right way. But, you know, the earth signs, the beauty and tranquility within yourself is a thing to be looking at right now. And I guess this full moon in Taurus, it was helping us look at those things within ourselves, to look at the financial stuff and, you know, how you relate to money. And but when you look at a deeper level, you know, we're still in a physical realm. So it's about balance. You know, it's not worrying about money. It's about knowing that you're going to be taken care of. And it's not the quick fix of the ego to get your desires met. It's connecting to source and manifesting in that fifth dimensional level kind of consciousness. But it means to go deeper and investigate, go within yourself. So be fearless and don't see limitations. See possibilities. And see yourself as having great worth. You know, you have to heal within yourself to be able to love yourself and love other people around you. You know, a lot of people have been going within themselves and they're thinking, hey, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, it's part of the healing process. And then once you feel that sense of security within yourself, you can reach out to other people. You know, we've never really left other people, though. That's just an illusion. We're all connected. So, you know, like I said last week when I did the show on Friday, it's all about taking care of yourself and seeing what makes you happy. And, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up in the States. We've already had it in Canada. And it's having gratitude for everything that we receive. You know, we put out intentions to have things happen in our lives. It's important that we express being thankful for it, too, because it's part of the process. And, you know, don't be in a rush. You know, even though it seems like time is going quickly, you know, we're in the now time. We're in eternal time. And it's all about enjoying the moment and savoring the experience of that moment. So, you know, also Scorpio plays into this, and I was talking about it on the show last week, too. It's to take our empowerment, to go within, to look at the things, to go deep. And, you know, it's not about being stuck and seeing ourselves as being stuck. It's about releasing a lot of the karmic, that energy that you've been holding. And, you know, Scorpio gives us this tremendous power to heal. And, you know, the Scorpio-Taurus combination carries through over the next few days. And, you know, we're also feeling at the same time the water-earth signs and the connection to the earth and to the heavens at the same time. So a lot is going on. And it's all about love. It's all about connection to source. It's about love of the earth, expanding our awareness, seeing things around us in a different light. And, you know, so many people are going within themselves now, and they're seeing things and feeling things emotionally, but balancing at the same time. But it's bringing a lot of emotion up to the surface. You know, it's not about surrendering ourselves emotionally. It's about just flowing into emotion and allowing, you know, things to restructure. And, you know, expanding ourselves and seeing ourselves beyond the ego and materialism. And, you know, it's about going beyond life and death, you know, seeing them as flowing together, not separate. Everything has a flow. And, you know, in 3D, there's a polaric, a separation, a division. But in fifth dimensional consciousness, there's a flow. So it's all about flowing. not really surrendering, just flowing, and feeling empowered, and making, being more perceptive because of it, and understanding what has really gone on here, and that we are manifestors and we're light beings. And, you know, some people have said we're the Magi. We're able to manifest things, especially humanity. And they're expanding their DNA right now, humanity. You know, the feminine energy and the masculine energy are balancing. The light and the dark are balancing. But there is more light here right now. And, you know, a lot of the planets have turned direct right at the moment. And so energy is very concentrated. And I'm just mentioning it because what is going on within us is manifested around us. So we're having a new awakening after we've restructured. So now is the time that we're going to be doing that. And it's like being, you know, when you go to, I'll give you an example. You go to university or college and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a whole new experience. And you're a little nervous. But this is what it's all about. But there's excitement and anticipation, a whole newness to something. It's like when you put on a new dress for the first time. You know, it's all about looking at priorities right now and goals, and keeping your energy field flowing and free, and cleaning, you know, out the old house and moving to the new house. And this is an incredible time, an evolutionary time within humanity. We're going back to the way things were, you know, within humanity before the fallen consciousness happened. You know, I was talking about how the sunspot stopped, but November 17th, there was a shift in energy, and, you know, there's spots back on the sun again, so it's pretty interesting what's going to happen, and there's a whole bunch of them right now. So, and also I was talking about Ison, the comet that's going by us right now. And it's going by the sun. It may be, if it goes too close to the sun, because it apparently has turned green and ignited, you know, if it goes near the sun, it could burst. And, but, you know, I was saying go, you know, things that are happening within us happen in the solar system. So this could be some energy really shifting for humanity when this happens. So be aware of that. There's a lot of changes going on within us, and I just want to see if I can connect with people in chat room if there's anybody that has any questions. Somebody said they liked listening, but they left the room. So I just want to let you know, too, I used the book Animal Speak by Ted Anders for the animal totems, and I'm going to talk about a couple animals today, the sloth and the opossum. And if I can, I'll talk a little bit about bears, but that's not so important right now. Maybe I'll share something about the opossum. Apparently it's been this opossum carrying around 15 babies. And, you know, it didn't react in a negative way when people saw it. It just kept trudging along. So it's all about, you know, carrying humanity right now. And at some time soon, the babies are going to be released. So also, too, in Canada, the cyber legislation for cyber bullying is being changed. And you may have heard about Amanda Todd, who took her own life in October 2012. This is in memory of her. But also, this is a wonderful time, I meant, for the law changing. So there's some energy shift with this. Her mother, Carol Todd, says it's a step in the right direction, changing this. So anyone that posts pictures that are inappropriate without asking anybody's permission and underage, of course, will be prosecuted. And but they're saying that they're going to be doing this in a loving way, and there will be therapy for people that are doing it. So this is a big change. And I hope that this legislation that's going to be passed soon will send a message to anyone, and especially young people that are spreading intimate images and, giving people alcohol and drugs and knocking them out and taking pictures and things like that, because that is not who we are, and that is, polaric negative energy. So there's going to be some more on legal consequences about doing this. So they're stepping up and doing something about it. And, a few people committed suicide because of this, because they couldn't handle what had been done to them. And this is not right. There was something else I wanted to talk about. I was just trying to think. The Basque people of Newfoundland. Right now in Newfoundland, the winds are going 130 kilometers an hour because of the storm front. And it's pretty intense. They've canceled all flights into Newfoundland, especially, I think, near where the coast is and stuff like that, but also Cape Breton, too. So it's pretty fierce there right now. So I want to talk a little bit about the Basque people. 30% of Newfoundlanders have Rh negative blood, and apparently it's from the Basque, heritage within the Newfoundland people. So that's pretty interesting. And I talked on Friday about the beginning of November being the fourth square of the Uranus-Pluto square. And, this energy is starting, but it's really getting underway since yesterday, the shifting and going into the exact heliocentric square that's happening November 24th. So I want to talk a little bit about that, too. Also about the Bermuda Triangle and near Cuba, they found a huge sighting of pyramids and roadways and things like that that are bigger than what is in Egypt. So this has just been found a couple months ago. But there's a lot of energy shifting in the Caribbean. So I may touch on that again. And then want to talk a little bit about how nuts can help your health, and especially for heart disease and cancer. And so, it's important to, I was talking last week about leafy green vegetables and cruciferous vegetables helping your immune system. Well, nuts really help with the heart and, with cancer. And so it's important to include those in your diet, too. I guess I'll touch a little bit about the sloth, because I've been seeing a lot about sloths lately, and apparently there's a new television show coming out about sloths. And, some of them have been being hurt, so people are taking them in, and they're having a place where, they can be taken care of. And the sloth is reflective of humanity and of psychic vision and aloneness, which, some of you that have been shifting consciousness have felt alone. I know some friends of mine who have lived in areas where there isn't a lot of shifting going on, they felt alone and have had to withdraw themselves. They said that recently a lot of people are going to be moving, relationships are changing, we're releasing a lot of karmic energy. We can go through relationships quite quickly, if you haven't found that fifth dimensional connection, that, flame person that reflects, your core values within yourself. And I talked about that on, last week's show. So, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, so if you're just tuning in, go back and listen to the beginning of the show, and it tells you how to get a hold of that show. So the sloth, and this is www.linsdomain.com/totems/pages/sloth www.hdm. And I'll try to put that in the chat room after I finish reading it. Anyway, it goes to say, and I'll try to post it in the archives too after. So the sloth teaches the art of camouflage. Sloths can turn their heads almost 270 degrees and gives them an uncanny ability to see all things that are above, below, and around them. So humanity right now is doing this inner journey within themselves, but at the same time, they're looking around themselves. They don't quite feel the oneness yet, some of them, but their perception of what's going on around them is opening up, and they're waking up. They're going, woohoo, wakey, wakey time. So, you know, even the sloth, you know, they say that sloth is slow moving. The sloth is more than that, okay? So it teaches the art of camouflage. It teaches us to go within ourselves, but at the same time, even though we're within ourselves, we're seeing all around us. We're connecting to source. We're connecting to the earth. We're connecting to people around us. We're starting to understand and emotionally look at things from a balanced sort of way and not pass judgment on people. We're learning to love in that divine sort of way. So, you know, the fact that this sloth can camouflage itself but at the same time look around itself, it's linked to the realm of spirit and psychic visions. And those with this totem often feel out of place on Earth and have difficult time fitting into normal society. A lot of humanity is feeling that right now. And I always talk about animals I am seeing, and they always relate to what is going on with humanity. I do fifth dimensional living in the moment because fifth dimensional consciousness is in the moment, and I live that consciousness. So like the sloth, they have an uncanny ability to see clearly and have strong visionary gifts. So this is what humanity is experiencing. They're feeling this ability to start seeing things, and they're starting to have visions. Their dream time's changing. They're connecting to things around them. They're tuning into this show. They're connecting with me. I am the balance and balanced energy and shift energy on the planet as it is coming here and shifting within the three-dimensional consciousness. So more of humanity, I believe it's over 12% of humanity have already shifted into fifth-dimensional consciousness. And very, very soon, it will shift even more. And it's going to go, anyway. These gifts, however, as I should continue here, should be nurtured in a grounded way early in life in order to help fully develop and be utilized within a given lifetime. Well, humanity are like little children right now. They're seeing the wonder in things. They're enjoying the now moment as they shift consciousness. So it's important that we nurture ourselves. We ground ourselves to the earth. We connect to source. We feel that solar plexus energy within ourselves and utilize our own energy. Don't take from other people. We're taking in more light. We're expanding our energy. We're expanding our chakras and our consciousness. So, but it's important to ground yourself because when you take in more light, you become more electric and things start to shift within your body. You may find that you zap people. So it's important to get out in nature to walk on the bare ground if you have to, and touch trees. So, you know, a lot of humanity has gone within themselves. And some of them think they're depressed, but it's not that. It's to escape from 3D reality and see the other reality. So it may look like they're trying to escape, but they're actually opening themselves up to a whole totally new reality. I've been there, done that. You know, even though I came here with higher consciousness, you know, we still connect with 3D consciousness, but when our understanding expands, it's incredible because we don't judge people and we have an understanding of why people do things because of this. You know, it's people that have the sloth as a totem may tend to escape. So strong physical exercise, just saying here, can bring this tendency into balance. And those with this totem are loners and do not enjoy being in crowds. And if their independence is threatened by they become rebellious. So right now, you know, I've talked about revelation and revolution. And if you plug in revelation and revolution, you'll find about the Pluto-Uranus squares. And I did talk about it on Friday quite a bit on the show then. I just don't want to focus on it now because I've talked so much about it. So when people open themselves up, quite realize what's going on, they become rebellious sometimes, and they react outward, and they say, this isn't fair, and start marching, and, you know, you've seen it all across the world. It's important that we go within ourselves and release this emotions gently. You know, that's why the solar flares have been happening. It's release of energy from the sun, but it's showing that there's release of energy within humanity. You know, relationships are really important right now. They're shifting and they're changing. And the way we see ourselves and the way we see the world around us is changing. You know, relationships are challenged when these things happen and when personal space is taken away. You know, especially if you've been going on an inner journey and you keep getting interrupted. It's important to spend time taking that inner journey, but it's also important to stay connected to people too. You know, it says here that sloth medicine people usually have a low rate of metabolism and don't have the ability to ward off illnesses easily. You know, last week I talked how some people are using and expanding so much of their energy that it's being used to do that, and it's being taken away from the body. So until we shift consciousness, it's important that we get a lot of sleep, we eat a lot of green leafy vegetables and cabbage and broccoli and things like that, because it actually stimulates our immune system, and it's being taxed right now. You know, a lot of people who shift consciousness, just before they shift consciousness, they end up with allergies and a lot of body aches and pains. So the sloth is just indicative of what's going on in humanity right now. So I really wanted to touch on that right now. So if you want to know more about it, I would suggest that you look up animal totems and read more about the sloth, okay? I just want to go to the chat room, my computer's working slow today. You know, if there's solar flares and different things like that over the next few days, things are going to get slow, and sites, you know, may go. So I rhymed there, but it wasn't intentional. Okay, I'm putting the sloth totem on there. I just also, this is a live show, so 646-200-4169. Just going to see if anybody is calling in that would like to chat or ask any questions, because I am talking about a lot of different things. I want to mention that in humanity, recessive genes have been, you know, it to get red hair and left-handedness, it's recessive genes. So you have to have genes on both sides of the family, your mother and father, for you to inherit, you know, red hair. Well, apparently, in Easter Island and different parts of the world, there have been people with red hair, and even in the Middle East in different places. And these people traveled and ended up, you know, in England and Ireland and places like that, the Celtic people. But the Basque people, they're one of the people that have the recessive gene for Rh negative blood. But also, what is really, there's this study, and I'll try to post it. I just want to read a little bit about it. This Robert Langdon wrote a book, and it's called Histocompatibility Testing, and it was printed in 1972. It's a 778-page volume, and it was published in Copenhagen. And Professor Jean Dessau and I've talked about him before, is a co-discoverer of the HLA system and did a study of the Easter Islanders in 1972. So they took pains to ensure that the Icelanders, Easter Islanders, were of pure Easter Island descent, so, you know, had been there for a long time. You know, there was Polynesian influence, and the genealogies were compiled by a Father Sebastian Engelert, a priest who lived on the Easter Island for 35 years, just before his death in 1969. They also used data assembled by previous biological investigators, interviewed several elderly islanders about foreign mixture on the island. However, during their investigation, some islanders who have been included as pure natives in previous studies were said to be members of families who admixture from other islands and even Europeans. So all these individuals were excluded, and 49 islanders of pure descent were blood tested. And to their surprise, the A29B12 haplotype was common among these people, genes that are characteristic of early European Caucasians. So basically, they studied the Basque people in Spain and France, and tried to get them as pure as possible, I think Pyrenees Mountains, and they found the same genotype. So what they're saying, I think, is that the Basque people traveled a lot, and that is why they found that genotype and the Rh negative is 30% in Newfoundland, because the Basque people went there and settled quite a few hundred years ago. And they apparently settled in Easter Island a long time ago, and they settled in Europe. And it says, they were surprised that this haplotype, the A29B12 haplotype, was common amongst these people. And they checked other people that came from there, and they didn't have that. So they're characteristic of early European Caucasians. You know, when Caucasians first went to Europe. So in Basque Country, another enclave of ancient European genes, tests were also carried out, and 144 pure Basque people agreed to take part in the test. Isn't that funny? 144, and humanity is expanding from 2 strands of DNA to 144 strands of DNA. So all these residents of the village of Mac K in the heart of the French Pyrenees were tested, and the analysis revealed that 39% of unrelated Basques and 37% of Easter Islanders were carriers of the HLA gene B12. These were the highest and second highest proportions tested through the world. I'm not sure if they went and tested people in Newfoundland. They should do that too. The figures for A29 were similar. The Easter Islanders with the 37% at the highest proportion in the world, while the Basques were second with 24%. The most remarkable thing was that these two genes were found as a haplotype, combined genetic markers, and 11% of Eastern Islanders and 7.9% of the Basques. No other people in the world had remotely comparable figures. And, you know, years and years and years ago, the Mayan people said this person came from the ocean with red hair. I believe that, you know, they were saying he was a god. I believe that he was a Basque. You know, it says here also in this article that the fact that Easter Islanders appear to be a more pure Caucasian racial stock than the Basques. Hardly the gene pool expected from a motley crew of San Lesmes. I guess that's where they tested them. Their isolation in South America and then the Pacific has ensured the racial purity through time. So you never know. The Basque people were said to come from another planet, too. And they have an Rh negative factor. It doesn't say here that the ones on because they're testing, they're just talking about this one thing that has Rh negative, but I know that they've been tested in Europe and in Newfoundland, and they Newfoundland has the highest Rh negative, 30% of the population has it. It's the highest in the world. So isn't that amazing? A great deal of work has been done studying the Basques, and many scientists have come to the conclusion that the Basques had the purest Caucasian genes, yet their genes show that they were not in Europe between 13,000 and 6,000 years ago. Their absence during this period shielded them from Indo-European interbreeding that occurred among the Central European tribes. My belief is that these people were Native Americans, a bit Caucasian Native Americans. You know, they've also found settlements of the Basques, like I was saying, in Newfoundland, and along the east coast of the United States. There's been several shows lately on television chronicling that. So the Easter Islanders, are a fragment of this ancient civilization who, according to the Rongo scripts, departed from Puna Island, Peru. So I know that during ancient times, some of the peoples came, and probably the Basques came down and went to South America and down to Mexico and along the coast. So, you know, the isolated groupings of these people are showing that they've been around for a long time. And it says, further studies will be needed to undertaken to identify whether Easter Island genes came from the original Cro-Magnon man that entered America from Spain. You know, they said that all of a sudden Cro-Magnon disappeared. And, you know, they've gone back and done checking. And in Spain and Portugal, they apparently merged with the peoples there. Or whether the South American Caucasians, as seen in the red-haired Paracas mummies, were from the ancient mariners associated with Phoenicians. You know, they've called the Basque people the Phoenicians. So there's connections everywhere. So this is pretty amazing. I'm, you know, getting a lot of information about Newfoundland and what's been going on there, and the energy there is strong right now. So these secrets are having themselves revealed. And says these ancient mariners that traveled were associated with the Phoenicians, the Egyptians, the Hittites, the Sumerians, the people of Ur, or Harappa. The other possibility is that they are a combination of both Native American Caucasians and Bronze Age Caucasians, which is what the Rongo decipherment seems to indicate. Having said this, we must remember the Egyptians relate their history back to Atlantis. So, you know, another thing that people are saying, you know, there are pyramids on Newfoundland. A lot of people don't know about that. You know, a lot of these peoples that were in Atlantis, and I was talking about, you know, how all of a sudden the whole civilization was destroyed during the Ice Age meltdown. And, you know, these people traveled. So, you know, it says here, having this, we must remember the Egyptians relate their history back to Atlantis. I'm just repeating this. Therefore, their genes were also from the branch of the Native American Caucasians. And you've heard that some of the Egyptians went to Ireland and Tara. The Tara are the continuation of the peoples that left ancient Egypt and went there. And as of all the above people originally from Atlantis, their genes would originally have been in the same stock as the Basques. The time of separation is a question that needs to be answered. Papyrus rafts and Rapa scripts suggest they were from the Indus-Persian Gulf region between 3,000 to 5,000 years ago. Conversely, their racial purity suggests they're from a region isolated from Indo-European mixing. South America and the Caribbean are the two most likely areas where these people remain isolated from insurgent populations. The Rongo tablets speak of ancient people from Tulalip or Turtle Island, known as the Grand Bahamas Banks, and the Children of the Sun from the Tiahuanaco Lake Tanganyika. You may want to read the appendix on Rongo script. It is quite clear a description of the slow, persistent persecution of these Caucasian groups in South America, leading to an exodus to the Pacific led by the Kon-Tiki. And you've heard about, you know, Kon-Tiki, how the people left Egypt and went to South America, and then they went to the islands. And, you know, this could be how they ended up in Easter Island. So it's pretty interesting. So if anybody is interested in that, I'm just getting strong messages about that, how we're learning more about ancient truths that have been hidden from us for so long. And I am going to go to some of those areas very soon, and I'm doing some energy work there to open this up to truth. Okay? So I just want to read a little bit about the Basque people, because I'm talking about, you know, the Basque people right now. Let me just, this computer's going haywire here. So there's pockets of these people all over the place, and apparently they were Rh negative, and that's where it came from. So recessive genes, when people are isolated, recessive genes pop out, and, you know, they've just mixed with the population, the Indo-European group that went through Europe. And, you know, the Mongols came through, all these different groups came through afterwards. But these people managed to have little pockets in different areas of the world, like Newfoundland and Easter Island, and little bits in the Pyrenees in Spain and France. The Basque people, and this is just a Wikipedia thing about them. They're, you know, Spanish and French Basques are an ethnic group which inhabit an area traditionally known as Basque County, a region that is located around the western end of the Pyrenees on the coast of the Bay of Biscay and straddles part of the north central Spain and southwestern France. So, you know, these may have been the ones that were here before, you know, Homo sapiens. They're known as Eskadunalak in Basque. It means speakers of the Basque language, so it's capital Euskaldunak. And it just indicates, you know, I've just got to get another phone because I think my phone's getting low in battery. And anyway, the Basque people, it's pretty amazing. They've continued themselves all over the planet. So I'm just going to change phones here. Sorry about that. Okay, it seems to be working. I did charge that phone up, but sometimes batteries get low, especially when I touch them. So it's important to ground yourself. Maybe I should have grounded myself a little bit more today. Anyway, getting back to the Basque stuff. They're speakers of the Basque language. And there's a whole history here. And if you're interested, you know, please go and Google it. And let's see. So they're saying that there's several coins of the first and second centuries found in the Basque country bearing the inscription Barscoons. The place they were minted is not certain, but is thought to be somewhere near Pamplona, P-A-M-P-L-O-N-A, in the heart of an area that historians believe were inhabited by Visicones. Some scholars suggest a Celtic ideology based on I guess there was a mixture of the people there, the tall ones, the mountain ones, the mountain people. And, you know, some of them left, and I guess the rest of them kind of mixed with some Indo-European people. But there are pockets, like, you know, I was saying in the other article, you know, the Pyrenees that didn't mix with other peoples. But the ones in Easter Island have more of a a pure line to that, and they think it may be the line from the Cro-Magnon line. So they're a different line than Homo sapiens. I'm just trying to go through this to kind of pick things up. It just says here the history of the Basque people, the origin of the Basque. It says the Basque language is unrelated to Indo-European, is thought to represent a people or culture that occupied Europe before the spread of the Indo-European languages. And, you know, they've shown that the Basque genetic uniqueness predates an arrival of agriculture in the Iberian Peninsula about 7,000 years ago. The Basques are a remnant of the early inhabitants of Western Europe, especially those of the Franco-Cantabrian region. And tribes were already mentioned in Roman times by Strabo and Pliny, including the Vascones and the Aquitani, A-Q-U-I-T-A-N-I. And there's enough evidence to support the hypothesis at that time, and later they spoke old varieties of the Basque language. So anyway, I'll just leave that as that. You know, we're learning more about who we are right now, and things are opening up within us. Let me just see a little bit about Basque mythology. It says that the mythology of the ancient Basque largely did not survive the arrival of Christianity in the Basque country. So between the 4th and the 12th century, and that's funny, that's when a lot of the Constantine changed, you know, in that between that time period where the Bible was changed and history was changed. So most of what is known about the elements of this original belief system is based on the analysis of legends and the study of place names and, you know, references to pagan rituals practiced by the Basques. One main figure of this belief system was a female character of Mari, according to legends collected in the area of Attune. The other main figure was her consort, Sugar, spelled S-U-G-A-A-R. However, due to the scarcity of the material, it's difficult to say if this would have been the central pair of the Basque mythology. Based on the attributes ascribed to these mythological creatures, this could be considered a C-H-T-H-O-N-I-C religion, as all its characters dwell on earth and below it, with the sky seen mostly as empty quarter through which divinities pass. So it was, anyway. So there's some grave sites in France and Spain that show the symbols. And I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's a hexagram with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, anyway, it has some pretty neat symbology. So if you go to Wikipedia, you'll see it. So they have a totally different mythology than other peoples. I also wanted to talk about, I'm going to use the book Animal Speak, talk about another animal that's I've been seeing. I saw one, and the sloth and the opossum seem to be moving further north. And let me just see. Okay, Animal Speak, the book by Ted Andrews on page 290. The opossum keynote the use of appearances, cycle of power spring. And Ted Andrews, he passed away in 2009, but he talks about his workshops in this particular thing about the opossums. And he said his workshops were starting to gain in popularity, and somebody was spreading rumors about me among certain groups to undermine my work, and apparently he felt threatened by the increasing attention I was receiving. After a workshop one evening, several people spoke to me what was being spread around. I remember fuming all the way home. I couldn't believe this person would make up stories after all we had done some traveling together. I knew I was going to have to confront this person. When I got home and raised my garage door, my headlights flashed on a pair of eyes in the dark of the garage. An opossum had taken up temporary shelter. I got a broom and tried unsuccessfully to sweep it out. Finally, I left the garage door open, hoping it would leave on its own, and it went into the house temporarily distracted from my fuming. But an hour later, I went outside to check the garage, and the opossum had disappeared. I drove the car into the garage and pulled the garage door, and it only moved about 5 inches and locked. I pulled again, and still it locked. Since it was dark, I couldn't tell if the runners on it, which it sat, were jammed or it was going on. Finally, I grabbed the handle with two hands and yanked as hard as I could. The door freed and came down. As I did, the opossum tumbled off the top of the garage door and fell on top of my head. I must have jumped 6 feet. I don't know who was scared worse, me or the opossum. Apparently, it had climbed on the top of the garage door and was lodged in a way that hindered closing the door. Poor little guy. It felt rather abruptly after bouncing off my head and hitting the ground. It appeared just as dazed and unhurt as I was. I tried to get my heart started. I began laughing as I walked back into the house. My anger from earlier that evening was dissipated. It was when I decided not to respond. You know, the opossum forces us to go within ourselves to feel emotion, to feel what's happening around us, to have perception, and to look at it in a way that is relaxed. Anyway, so he was able to see that. And I would just appear to play dead or ignorant to the rumors. Within a few weeks, the rumors had ceased, and numerous phone calls affirmed that I had responded appropriately. No one was believing the rumors, and my invitations to teach and lecture increased even more. Opossum teaches how to use appearances. Sometimes it's necessary to play dead. You know, it's a quiet time. It's time to go within and change how we see things right now. Sometimes it's necessary to put up a particular front to succeed most easily and effectively. This is when the medicine of a opossum can teach. It can also show you when others are putting up false fronts and deceptions. So it's seeing things that are going on around us. You know, when they were talking about Rob Ford and he did this and he did that, and I thought to myself, I'm sure he did it, but he is the one that has to, you know, step forward and do what he has to do about it. And sure enough, you know, so it helps us see when people are doing things that aren't the best, okay? The opossum has an archetypal energy that helps us to use appearances to our greatest benefit, that can help to learn to divert attention, to get attention any way we need. So it's a diversion. Sometimes it's necessary to behave or act in a strategic manner. So right now, humanity has to step back and look at things and say, hey, what are my goals right now? What am I going to do to get step forward? These are preparation times. We may need to appear fearful or fearless in spite of how we truly feel. So, you know, you may be feeling a little fearful, but it's important to look at that fear and release it. We may need to show submission or aggression, is saying here. But, you know, just pull yourself away and look at things. Don't react to things, just like he did. The opossum is a supreme actor, and those in the acting field or what need to learn something of it can do better than work with the opossum. So if you have the opossum as your totem, it's about learning. It's about stepping back. It's about seeing things from a different light. You know, the opossum is a nocturnal animal. It's the only marsupial on the North American continent. And think about it. The Basque people are in little pockets, and marsupials have pockets. There's little pockets that are a totally different type of people. The marsupial in North America just showed up. You know, how did it get here? You know, marsupials are animals that raise your young in pouches on the abdomen. And, you know, I was seeing this opossum with 15 babies on it, and I saw it on Facebook, and I saw it on the news this morning, and I'm thinking, how come I keep seeing opossums? And this one with the 15 babies, the number 15 is coming up. When the young are born, they are blind, but they're still able to climb up into the pouch immediately after birth. There they stay for about 1 month. During the spring, I often stop and check opossums that have been hit on the road, just make sure, I guess, to help them. They should have opossum sanctuaries, too, besides the sloth ones, because I've seen a lot of them on the road. It's like they're saying, hey, I want to go further north because I don't like what's going on down here. Just like humanity saying, I want to go within and do some work because I don't like what's going on in the planet right now, and we have to change things here. It's about an inner knowing, that part of ourselves that connects to Source that knows it's time. You know, there's a thing that, you know, is in the Bible. It says, for every change, turn. There is a reason for everything in heaven. I might not have quoted that the way it actually is, but close enough. So, you know, he was saying that he pulled over because there might be young in the pouch that are still alive, you know, these babies. So it's important, you know, that humanity may be isolated right now in little pouches of fifth dimensional consciousness, but it's important that we connect with them. We nurture them. We nurture ourselves. You know, the young can live in a pouch even after mother has died, but only for a short while. In the pouch are located nipples. Most opossums have 13 nipples, yet this one had 15. So it's a time where humanity has to let go, but also at the same time is really hanging on. You know, so in the show, we try to educate people, but we don't want to have people, you know, relying on us right now. We have to use that energy within ourselves. So it says here in a little while later, there may be more than 13 young, but only 13 will be able to survive. So that's really symbolic. You know, I was seeing the number 12 for humanity shifting, and then now I'm getting the number 15, that 15% of the humanity is gone into fifth dimensional consciousness. So the fact that 15 of these opossums survived is pretty amazing. You know, some people associate it with bad luck. You know, the opossum is a wonderful animal with the unique ability to divert attention by displaying the right appearance. It teaches us to adjust our behaviors and appearances for great benefit. It's also symbolic for the great sun around which the 12 signs of the zodiac revolve. It's a symbolic of the sun within. And this is a time of the sun where the sun is going to determine what happens. The energy within us is going to determine what happens. And if I have time, I'll talk a little bit about that. So the pouch, in regards to the opossum's defense of playing dead, links it to the ability to help us draw from our own bag of tricks. We have to go within and use our own energy, and which will benefit us. It's a time of healing and going within. It's a time of using that solar plexus energy and connecting to Source and connecting to the earth, but, you know, being one with all, but also within ourselves. It can show you which appearance to draw from, the pouch to use for the greater success. The milk of the mother is rich in calcium. So, you know, we're connecting to Source right now, to that, you know, mother-father energy. And, you know, God, the creative original force. As young opossums need high concentrations of it, with this totem, should examine their own calcium levels. The playing dead that the possum is famous for, a self-induced state of shock. The pulse becomes minimal. The heartbeat slows. The musk scent of death is released. In all appearances, it would seem dead. The possum can enter and leave the state abruptly, pretty much at will. This act serves to confuse many predators. The surprise distracts them, just like, you know, he was surprised. So humanity is going to have a lot of surprises and will, you know, go beyond the call of duty and become who they are. You know, the opossum is able to make the escape in its kind of flexibility and ease of appearance. It's adaptive. You know, these possums have been moving north. You know, the ease and flexibility of appearances, that's what the opossum teaches us. If the possum shows up as a totem that you have, ask yourself some important questions. Are you acting or about to act in an appropriate manner? So humanity right now, with all this energy they're releasing and the shift in consciousness, there may be some anger. There may be revolution, but it's important we don't do that. We have to look within ourselves and see how to react beyond this. And this is what the restructuring is. How can we change things? How can we do things in a different sort of way that's more balanced and fifth-dimensional conscious? And strengthening your own appearance. Are others putting up false appearances in front of you? And this is happening a lot. You can see it around you. You know, with the politicians, with the banks, they're trying to deceive people. And this is pure three-dimensional consciousness. We just have to see beyond that. To become who we need to be or who we are, we need to think beyond the box. We need to see possibilities. We have to see our own magic. Do you need to divert attention from some activity? Are others trying to divert your attention? It's time to go into your own bag of tricks and pull out some new strategy. So it's time for humanity to change the way they've done things. And so that's the opossum. It's pretty amazing that I got the number 15, and that's what I'm seeing in humanity right now. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but I will read. There was a study done by this Canadian reporter. He went to Harvard University, and I think it was the first or second year students. He walked up to them and said, "What's the capital of Canada?" And none of them knew the capital of Canada. And then they did the same test in one of the bigger universities in Canada, and everyone knew where the American capital was. So what I'm basically saying is the way things are being seen by the Americans have been influenced by what they've been taught. And, you know, people that travel have a more expanded view of things. So what I'm just saying is, you know, we're going through a more expanded view of how we see things when we shift consciousness. It's not bad or good that people have that, but it's pretty visible now. People are starting to notice. I was talking about recessive genes and the Basque, you know, having recessive genes, the red hair and the Rh negative, and they probably have left-handedness too, because this is one of the genes that's recessive too. You need both parents that have the recessive gene to have a person with left-handed. And I'm left-handed, but I use both my hands, so I'm ambidextrous. And my ex-husband was left-handed, yet both his mother and father are right-handed, and both my mom and dad were right-handed. One of my children is left-handed also. And basically what this just says is the right side of the brain is more prominent and the artistic part of the brain. So people that are left-handed tend to be more artistic. But a female who's right-handed, who carries the gene, because, you know, sometimes you can have both parents are left-handed and have a child that does not have this gene. It can happen. It's different combinations. But they're often very artistic people, too. You know, I think I mentioned this on my Facebook wall. You know, some people recently have been going through a lot, and the indigos were going through a lot for so many years. They're holding the energy here for humanity's shift consciousness. And some of us have been here to balance that energy. But even on the worst of days, positive possibilities are always unfolding, and we just have to see and follow our hearts. You know, in this type of consciousness, fifth-dimensional consciousness, it's all about seeing things from the heart. You know, the funny thing was, I also mentioned on Facebook that the day I was born, on January 16th, was one of the days that most of the sightings of UFOs been seen. And I was born in the biggest Icelandic community outside of Iceland in Gimli, Manitoba. And, you know, that I think I've always had an affinity with Icelandic people and the cold. I like that climate. You know, we've been talking about looking at new, restructuring. What seems to leave, and when we see it this way, we go within, come to the conclusion with these retrogrades that we've been experiencing, Mercury retrogrades, with each Pluto-Uranus square, there's a time where we go back and go really deeply within. you know, we see things and we say, hey, I don't need to feel this way anymore. I can let that go. So when we leave and let things go, there's new beginnings, and they're completely different, and they can be even better. The way things go with balance, things aren't as, we don't react with the extreme emotions, right? So this is a good thing, and is more beneficial for people. You know, I was seeing that, I think I talked a bit about it on Friday, that I was seeing these gateways opening recently for the soul realms, and they were converging. You know, humanity is expanding, and at the same time, energy from different realms, they're converging. It's time to make an intention for higher consciousness on this planet. And that's what humanity has chosen. Instead of taking the extreme route or continuing in the 3D consciousness, humanity is doing it in a gentle, more gentle way. And I hope this continues as more and more of humanity become awakened. There may be times where there is revolt or aggressive, beyond assertive behavior, but, you know, this is what humanity has chosen. So I'm just putting an intention out that humanity choose that path of looking within and seeing things and shifting, because once enough of the collective consciousness shifts, it goes beyond, you know, 10%. It really starts to shift, and it can happen very, very quickly. And we can wake up one morning and things can be totally different here, because we manifest, and it happens a lot quicker in fifth-dimensional consciousness, because things that I manifest happen a lot faster. You know, it's pretty amazing. It's a time when humanity goes within and looks at what doesn't fit anymore and sees in the now how things can shift. You know, it's a time where, before the collective consciousness totally shifts, that humanity goes within and sees what can change. You know, I was talking earlier before how the Basque went to Labrador, also the Inuit, and the Vikings went there too. So it's and then, you know, little pockets got isolated or they went back. Newfoundland is a really interesting area, and so is Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia. So if you're interested in any of those, you know, places, a lot of people haven't been right across Canada. I have. That's another claim to fame that I have. You know, saying that right now there's a lot of energy blowing out of that area, and it means that some of this energy is shifting within humanity, has to do with ancient things, has to do with Atlantis. You know, things are shifting on the planet. They're looking at things that aren't right, like cyberbullying. Laws are being passed in Canada. Canada holds the original masculine energy, which is healing right now. And they're looking at these kids and saying, oh, we're not just going to, you know, slam them in jail. We have to teach them, you know, teach our children well, you know, that this isn't right, not hurting each other. That's three-dimensional consciousness. That's living in fear and being mean. You know, there's places in Brazil, in Africa, that are building, they're going to build these great big, dams that are going to destroy a whole bunch of people that are living in these places. Like, we have to really look at ourselves. Do we want to destroy people and their ways of life? You know, Ojan, a company that was started in Canada but has been bought out by an American company, you know, was taking and helping, you know, these people in Central America use this nut to make oil that helps the hair and the skin. A lot of these amazing things could be found in these places, yet, you know, they're going to be flooded. Like, just like, you know, Atlantis and the energy that was released was flooded. You know, they say that now they found these pyramids and these sphinxes. Maybe there's something we can learn from these people, you know. And the times, you know, people have memories and past lives about these things. you know, there's new discoveries like ginger root they're finding now is helping with heart disease and cancer. It's stronger than chemotherapy they're finding now. You know, this is something that we have around, but maybe there's other things out there that yet need to be revealed. You know, this eclipse that we just experienced in November, that opened us up to new things, going within, going deeper. You know, it's a time, you know, we're with this cancer energy, it's time to deal with emotions, healing and realizing and looking at our emotions, especially with family. Mercury in Scorpio is going deep, and it activates Pluto-Uranus square that we've experienced. We're coming out of that retrograde. Our minds are going very deep right now. And we're coming up against issues that we need to look at, how we relate to each other. You know, I was talking about obsession, love. We need to see love differently. We need to see it divinely. We need to see it from not a judging point. When we go into higher consciousness, there's balance, and we do see it that way. You know, we're looking at our safety net within ourselves. You know, some people say, oh, I need to have a relationship to feel good. Well, you need to feel good within yourself before you even go there. You know, I also, it's the 50th anniversary of Kennedy. And, you know, what does this mean to us right now? He was bringing forward things that, and speaking some truth, even though, you know, he may not have lived a perfect life, and he was assassinated. You know, it's funny that this should happen this time. You know, this Pluto squares are opening us up to truths. And, you know, this Ison comet is opening us up to truth. This eclipse that we've just experienced and the full moon is opening us up to truth. The opportunistic sextile Mercury to Pluto is all about going within and reforming relationships and seeing power within ourselves and looking at our, you know, our inner authority and our relationships to ourselves. This is what we're doing right now. And seeing that it's changing. And seeing that we are causing the change because we are shifting within ourselves, it's important to be open to it and go into that flow like I was talking about at the beginning of the show. And doing it in a loving way. And when we aren't having all that chatter and all that stress within ourselves, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, the stress, the adrenal glands, aren't stressed like that. So, you know, the opossum, the carrying the babies, it's all about the balancing act of carrying these babies right now. You know, I've been holding the balance. And, you know, it's important that it's time for the release of the babies and them looking within themselves. The pouches of fifth dimensional people are connecting right now. They're becoming more of a collective. They're going beyond the Christ consciousness, the fifth dimensional consciousness or the heart consciousness, whatever you want to, you know, call it. We need to balance our needs and the needs that we have to be one. It's all about balance. You know, it's not about looking totally at our needs and saying, hey, you know, the ego speaking and being materialistic and I want this and I need that, and if I don't get it, then look out, world. It's about, you know, balancing our needs and the needs of people around us. And the love that we have for ourselves is reflected in our connection with Source and with people around us and connection to the earth and not wanting to hurt the earth. You know, stress in relationships have been a big focus, and this is going to change. You know, as we achieve oneness with ourselves and experience less stress, we learn and our perception expands. And, you know, that sloth can turn its head all the way around and look all the way around itself, look up and look down. It has, you know, a 360-degree way to look around. And humanity, as they expand and they work from the heart that connects to the oneness with Source and that original creative energy, really expands our consciousness, expands our perception, it expands our understanding, expands our love. When we live in love, our stress goes down, and we see people and things from a more loving way. And when they feel that, they become more balanced. It's all about looking at healing ourselves, and then others around us heal. Like Rob Ford in Toronto has a lot of healing to do. You know, there was this thing on Conan O'Brien last night. Will Ferrell was singing a song, Working for the Weekend by, I'm just trying to remember the name of the group. It doesn't really matter. It's a Canadian group. But he was kind of making a joke about it. But, you know, what we see reflected around us is what we need to heal within ourselves. So I'm working on that, and I'm putting the intention out that the masculine energy heal and balance with the feminine energy even more. The oneness with the self is really important right now. And, you know, the oneness, like I said, comes easily and with love as we open up our perception. So it's important that we look at our relationships right now. Are you in a relationship that's beneficial for you? Do you have the best people around you? If you don't, you've got to look at that, you know? This possum's carrying 15 babies. That's a hell of a lot of babies to be carrying. That's a lot of weight, you know, on the energy here. And those babies have to at some point be let go, and they have to be birthed, and it's going to happen. You know, things in 3D may show selfishness and things, but when we're in fifth-dimensional consciousness, we look beyond that. You know, the person that was helping with the legislation in Canada to this cyberbullying was looking at it in a holistic way, and I was really happy to see that. You know, I just want to read a little bit. There was something else I wanted to read, and I've gone over time already, but you will hear this in the archives because you may not be able to hear it right now. The heliocentric, the exact middle of that 138-year-old cycle that started in 1966 and ends in 2015, there is a reading for it. And it has to do with the solar system with the sun in the center as Uranus and Pluto square. So it's alignment up and how we on Earth align up with it right now. You know, I was saying, a lot of what's going on right now is close to the sun. And this comet Ison is going really close to the sun. It reveals the influence of the planets on the sun. And, you know, the solar consciousness, the sun is expanding too. And it's showing our expanded consciousness on a macrocosm level. So, you know, they've been saying that our sun is expected to reverse polarity by the end of 2013. It's showing that it's shifted in the north part, but it's not shifted in the south part. And, but, you know, that date hasn't happened yet. You know, it's funny that Thanksgiving and this heliocentric thing that's happening November 23rd, 24th is happening, and, you know, Thanksgiving and Ison are all happening, and all these alignments of all these planets are happening right now. In any normal heliocentric chart, there is no Earth, Moon, or Sun, but the Earth is always in the chart. So this is a different type of chart. And, you know, we're part of the solar system instead of being in the center of reality, but somehow this is going to shift, and humanity will become the center of reality. So, I was talking about how November 1st, the Uranus-Pluto square happened, and it's just like it gets triggered. And I think I was talking about all these alignments being, you know, 999 and then 11-11-11 in the past, but Uranus in 11 Aries exactly squares Pluto in 11 Capricorn, while Jupiter in 12th Cancer opposes Pluto in Capricorn. And this puts Uranus at the top of the T-square created by Jupiter opposite Pluto. And this means Jupiter expands
by nurturance, by Cancer, and the deep structural changes, Capricorn. And I was talking about that last week, how Capricorn stabilizes things. It's Earth sign, inspired by Pluto and Uranus in Aries at the top of the T-square, which means we can change and transform very aggressively with the Aries. So this is a time of great transformation. The only reason why I'm mentioning this is it's showing in the stars what's going on within humanity. This T-square suggests the solar system will respond to the pressures of the human ecocide in meaningful ways. This has already started. For example, the mad race for nuclear power is over, and the World Health Organization has announced air pollution is the number one carcinogen. And also what's going on with, cyberbullying even. You know, we're coming forth and saying, hey, you know, all this mean stuff isn't good. You know, the UN is going into certain countries and saying, no, you're not doing this anymore. The heliocentric Saturn as a direct structure and form in the solar system, it's happening. Saturn in 15th Scorpio squares March and 19th Leo, giving the sun great willpower to restructure reality. But what does this mean in the sense of the solar system? There are many signs that the sun is switching polarity and big solar flares may occur suddenly. But it was funny, about a week ago it stopped. And it was that time where the pivotal point where humanity were getting ready to do something big, and there's more solar flares again. I'll give you this article in a minute, say who's doing it. It's down on Earth, on the planet Earth, U.S. nuclear reactors have not been equipped without generators, and it's only cost $60,000 for each plant. That would be a good idea, because look what's happened in Japan, and I should talk about that. Japan has had other earthquakes, and this nuclear energy has come all the way to the west coast of, Canada and the U.S. and Mexico, and it's affecting the life there. And I've been putting a lot of, shifting a lot of the water and the frequency of the water to help with that. But anyway, it says if a solar flare knocks out the grid, the power needs to stay on, to have generators. If the reactors lose power, they may go into a meltdown. Little attention has been paid to what happened. If a solar flare shut down communications, such as satellites, your phone, a lot of different things, electricity. The government should be looking at that right now. And the heliocentric astrology of the Uranus-Pluto square suggests a waking-up call is coming. And we're all seeing that. Humanity has gone past that pivotal point. They're really going to go full into an expansion and a shift. Anyway, so you're going to be without power maybe, without phone system. I'm going to put out intention that we go through this without that happening. And it says, whatever happens, Chiron in 12 Pisces trines Saturn in 15 Scorpio, which trines Jupiter in Cancer, a wonderful water trine. That means that what transpires will be healing and nurturing. So the sun will still shine, hopefully not that much. So when we shift consciousness, we can change what happens here. When we do a lot of healing within, things like, nuclear power breakdowns and different things like that don't happen, have to happen. So this is going to be a pivotal point and within humanity over the next little while, because so much is happening. And I would suggest you go back to listen about the many things that I've talked about in other things. I'm just trying to get to the site, and it went back off again. Crazy thing. Just trying to push this up so I can give you the exact site. Anyway, go through, this is by Barbara Han Clow, and www.hanclow2012.com. I just did a little reading of an excerpt out of there. Please go to the article, Revelation and Revolution. Plug that in. Google it. It explains about the expansion of humanity and how these Pluto squares, and seven of them that correspond to the chakras within humanity are showing the expansion of humanity. And each time we experience that, prior to it, we go through a Mercury retrograde, which allows us to go within and have understanding expand even further. I've gone a little bit over time, and I just want to say to everyone, thanks for tuning in, and much love to you. And humanity is really going to start pushing out and expanding and shifting consciousness into fifth-dimensional consciousness. Much love to you all. And I'm putting an intention out that we all experience it with it with great love and show understanding to people around us. And, you know, we have to go on that inner journey, but we also connect in the oneness to all. And we feel that. When you're in fifth-dimensional consciousness, you really feel that, okay? Take care now.
Thank you for listening to Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger, bringing awareness to our world of greater love. For more information on Diane, please visit www.facebook.com/dbachberger1. May your heart and mind always be open to experiencing a greater world.